Would you turn with me, please, to
the chapter we read in God's Word,
the book of Genesis, chapter 8.
And as the Lord would enable us,
we might consider the narrative here that we find in the first 19 verses, especially focusing on verse 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with them in the ark. God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. We read, and God remembered Noah. All of us have a tendency to suffer from forgetfulness. We plan to do things, and other things take over, and before you know it, you haven't done what you should have done. You haven't written to someone, phoned someone, gone somewhere. It's so easy for us to forget to do things. It's not always easy to remember. But God is not like that. God is the one who knows all things. He knows the end from the beginning. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 46. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. He is the one who makes plans, who executes these plans, and who knows what is going to happen before it occurs. We read in Hebrews, all things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He knows everything about you. He knows all your thoughts. He knows what you're going to say before you say it yourself. He is the one who is all wise, Psalm 147. There he is counting the stars. He knows all those stars astronomers are still to discover. And he's not just seeing them. He knows all about them. He's given them a name. He understands everything about them. He knows everything. And has a perfect understanding of all things. Praying for a solemn thought. He knows what you're thinking this evening. He knows if you're attentive to him. As you gather in the worship of God. And the day will come. When he will bring you to account, because we're all to appear at the judgment seat, and we're going to have to give an account for all that we have done in the body, whether it be good or bad, and he'll know the no motives we've had. He'll forget nothing. Those things that you have done, which you've long forgotten about, will be brought to your remembrance. Friend, you see why. Sin cannot be ignored. Because you're going to be confronted on that day with all that you have done. And if you're without Christ, without a refuge for your to deal with your sin, then great will be your condemnation. And how horrific. How often we feel ashamed when we're reminded of things we should have done and we've not done. Or reminded of things that we would rather forget, the foolishness that we have done. For an awful day when it's all going to be revealed. And if there's not Christ to cover, to cleanse, friend, you need him. Make sure you are trusting in him. The deluge of God's wrath is going to come that we were thinking of last Sabbath. Well, make sure you're in the ark of refuge, the only place of safety. Well, here in the text we read, God remembered Noah. We're not to think that he's suddenly remembering after a time when he's forgotten. He always knew about it. He was always aware of everything that was connected with them and his situation. The word there, remember, when it's used of God, it refers to him taking note of something with a view to acting. And so here's God remembering Noah, and the idea is that God takes his special notice of Noah's situation at this particular time in order to act with regard to him. It seems as if there's been inactivity for many days. Now God's going to act. There's Noah. He's been floating around in this barge for many days. And it might seem that he's forgotten. But there's a lesson here about patience, about how we need faith, and how we need to obey as we would patiently wait for God to act. Let's think of Noah and God in remembering Noah. And we notice three things. We notice, first of all, Noah's waiting for deliverance. And then, secondly, God's remembering and deliverance. And then, thirdly, Noah's reacting to the situation. First of all, notice Noah's waiting for deliverance. Think of the situation. It is difficult to believe that the flood wasn't something that tried Noah's patience and faith. Surely, this must have been something that was a trial to his patience and faith. Noah has built the ark, he's entered into the ark, and it's rained for 40 days and 40 nights. What an awful calamity. As God pours his judgment upon the ancient world, as he is aware that many people, including those who he was familiar with, have perished in God's judgment. He's seen the awfulness of God's judgment as the rain came down, as the fountains of the deep were broken up. He must have had many thoughts about how righteous God is, how awful are his judgments, how he is a God to be feared, because his judgments are just and they are terrible. The ancient world perishing. God, as it were, seems to undo his work when he made the world. And yet there's also thoughts of the new beginning, because that's what God was doing. Wickedness had spread over the earth. Man in his rebellion against God is not allowed to go on with, as if nothing matters. God's got his judgment. And yet there should be this new beginning through Noah. What's it going to be like? How strange it will be. Eventually they come out of the ark with these animals, and there's a new beginning. Will things be better? There's still going to be the problem of sin in the world. Is he many thoughts to fill his mind? And yet time is going on and on. And the rains, well, they stop after 40 days. But the water travails over the earth for 150 days. Noah, he doesn't know how long things are going to go on. And he's not been told, from what we can discern here in Scripture, about the length of the flood. There's no indication given that he was informed of any new things. He's only told, get into that ark, you'll be safe there. The rains have come, the rains stop, and still this ark is floating around, and it's 150 days. A long time before it comes to rest. And there's a sign that's discernible. The waters have gone down. There's nothing to show the waters have gone down until that point. It's not as if there's a landmark that you could look
that you can see the waters receding. There's nothing there. Until, as it were, the ark comes with a bump to rest on the mountains of Ararat, as they're called. Surely, there must have been temptation there to wonder if he was forgotten. You'll be delivered, Noah, don't worry. That was God's promise. And yet there he is. He's within this ark for 150 days. And nothing seems to happen. And although the rain stopped, it's going on and on and on. Will he be delivered? How are things going to work? Surely the devil would be telling him, you've been forgotten about. Perhaps God got other plans. It's going to be left there to float around forever. Surely it must have tried his patience and his faith. Isn't that the way it is with God's people at times? Perhaps you're here tonight and your life is full of trials and troubles, full of anxieties and fears. You're praying about various situations in your own life or the life of your family. And what happens? You pray about these things. You ask for help. You ask for deliverance. You long to see loved ones brought to the Saviour, to faith in Christ, delivered from the wrath to come. And you're praying and you go on and on. And there seems to be no answer. There seems to be nothing to encourage you. And you begin to wonder, is God able? Is he faithful to his promises? Is he the hearer and the answer of prayer? Is your faith being tried tonight? Can you enter into the experience of the Lord? The psalmist, how long shalt thou forget me, Lord? Shall it forever be? There you are. You're praying about something. Doesn't matter what it is. But to you, it's an anxiety, a problem. And you're seeing nothing to encourage you. Well, it's difficult to keep on praying, to keep on trusting, when there's no sign to encourage. How often we can become downhearted. How often we can give up praying. It's so difficult in the middle of trials to press on, to be faithful and trusting in the Lord. Remember the Lord Jesus on the cross? He had to go through darkness, and his confidence was his Father would deliver him. And although he's praying for help, there's no response. Why hast thou forsaken? And out of his experience, he can say to his church, who is it among you that feareth the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant? You fear God. You have reverence for God. And you are listening to the voice of Christ. And you're obeying him. You're wanting to please him. You're not living in rebellion against him. And you're walking in darkness. And you've got no light. You've got no word to encourage you in the middle of your trials. Trust in the name of the Lord. Stay, rest upon your God. Friend, that's what you need to do. What sustained Noah's faith? What kept him trusting in God? Fending off the attacks of the devil who'd be saying, what a waste of time it is. Being in this ark, you're going to just perish. There is no hope. Well, weren't the promises of God? Remember how God had made his covenant with Noah. This chapter 6, verse 18. But with thee will I establish my covenant. Thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. How God was going to preserve them. To keep them alive. To keep him alive. There's God's promise. God has made his promise. He has made this covenant. He's a covenant-keeping God. He means what he says. He will deliver, even though it doesn't seem like it just now. He will remember me. He won't leave me in this situation. Friend, is that not what you're to do? You're to lay hold of God's promises. You're to plead those precious promises. You've got your problems, you've got your difficulties. And what you're to do is to search the scriptures and find the promises relating to these difficulties, and you plead those promises. Oh, let us store our hearts with the truth and with the promises of God, that in the day of trial and temptation, we might be able to take them and use them. That we might use effectively the promises of God, the Word of God as a sword of the Spirit, to fend off the attacks of the evil one when he's suggesting God's abandoned you, God's given up on you. These are God's promises to lay a hold of, to encourage you. But not only that, wasn't there the plan of God? What was God's plan in all this? Noah knew God's plan. He had to keep that in mind. There he is floating around in this barge. But remember, Noah, this is God's plan. That there be a renewal of creation, as it were. That the world that was should perish. Now that it should come a new world, it will be a different world. And yes, a world where there's still the promise of sin. That God is going to leave his mark in the world. And his mercy is going to be this mark. God is a God of justice and judgment. Fear God. Because if you go on in sin, God will eventually take note and condemn you. Here's God's plan. He'll fulfill his plan. Oh, God has plans. Remember his plans. Remember that his plan for his people is a good plan. If you're a believer tonight, you can say, well, I know all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. And yes, your life might be full of situations which are difficult, which you don't understand, which are liable to get you down, which don't seem good. But it's one of the privileges for all those who trust in Christ. They're assured all things work together for their good. Trust in that. Believe it, even when sight says, this is bad. By faith, see, God does all things well. What he does, I know not now. I don't understand now what he's doing, but I'll understand it hereafter, eventually. And trust God's plan. Oh, what a blessing to be a child of God. Are you here tonight and you don't know Christ? Well, God is good and he's good to you. He does nothing out of malice, but he is a just God who condemns sin. And yes, he'll send warnings to you. Will they work for your good? Or will they only add to the awfulness of your hell? When you knew that you were being, because the day will come, if you go on without Christ, that you will see not only how you were wooed to Christ with the sweet invitations of the gospel, but you were also warned. God gave you a shake. They just stopped your ears. You were saying, what a fool I was. Oh, that I had listened. I wouldn't be in this situation now if I had listened. Will it work for your good? God's people have that assurance. Oh, that you would find in Christ the one who gives the assurance, all things are for good. to those that love him. There's a past help of God. Who had helped Noah build this ark? Who had brought the beasts to him? It was God who was at work. He had kept the ark when there's all these convulsions, when the fountains of the deep are breaking up, there must have been tsunamis and other things happening, storms, tempests. But he's not been left alone. Everything is working okay. There's peace in the ark. Amongst all the beasts, Noah is safe. Well, God's helping us. He will not abandon us. He's helping me in the past. He's helping me now. He will not abandon me. Well, you look back on God's goodness in the past. Let that encourage you to trust in him more. Can you say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us? There's encouragement. Will he not help us still? Strengthen your faith on the past help of God. And Esther was also surely the person of God himself. Noah knew who God was. That he is the Holy One, the Just One, the Gracious One. One who keeps his word. He's not going to abandon him. He said he'll deliver him. He's seen something of God's character as the just God, but also a Savior. And the destruction of the flood and his own preservation. This God. I can rely upon him. Oh, friend, is that not true? God is utterly reliable. People let you down. God has never let anyone down that trusted in him. And the very character of God should encourage you. He is faithful. He is gracious. He keeps his word. He is one who will not abandon those who trust in him. God remembered Noah. Despite all the doubts and all the temptations that he must have been confronted with, Noah could hang on, confident God will deliver us. He'll bring us through this awful experience safely because of who he is. And because of what he has said he will do. Trust in the Lord as Noah trusted. Notice secondly God's remembering and deliverance. God remembered Noah. Here was timely deliverance. Oh, for Noah must have seemed a long time. The waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days, and God remembered Noah. Remember, the chapter headings aren't in the original. The one verse goes on from the other. It seems a long, long time, and yet here is God's good time, the right time. There's an emphasis on the finality of that destruction that he brought upon the ancient world, and in God's perfect timing, he acts to eventually dry up the ground and bring Noah out of the ark. Oh, how difficult it is to be patient. But you're so impatient, don't you? You're praying for a loved one who's without Christ, or that they would be converted. And you would do anything you could to see them brought to the Saviour. Well, we're impatient, naturally, because we're concerned for them. We don't want to see them drifting further. Oh, that the Lord would bring them in. It's so difficult to be zealous and prayerful for them, and yet aware God alone can open the heart. No point bringing them to a false conversion. They need to be brought soundly to Christ in a real way. Otherwise, they're not brought at all. They're still without Him. Even other problems and difficulties. Oh, that I could get through these things. How difficult it is to realize that as we trust in God, He almost does things at the right time, at the best time. Even though at times it seems to be after a long period of waiting. We need to learn patience. And remember that often God acts. He intervenes suddenly. That He intervenes when we're at our extremity. How often the church has been brought down low. Weak, helpless. And it seems that the light of the gospel is so dim, as if the flame is about to go out. Then the Lord acts suddenly, and He revives His church, and He builds up His people, and gathers souls into His kingdom. You see, what's God doing? He's ensuring that He will have all the glory, because so often we think we've done it. Rather than relying upon Him. His deliverance is timely. And it gets Him the glory. Especially when we see Him working. When it seems that there is no hope. Then we see it really was God who did it. As God was glorified. In the bringing of Israel out of captivity. God is glorified in delivering His people when all seems lost. You'll notice that His deliverance was a merciful deliverance. The word there, remember, includes the idea of acting in mercy. That was happening here. God remembered Noah. Now He's going to show mercy to him. He's no longer going to be left floating around this barge in the middle of an ocean. Lost. Helpless as it were. Nothing to encourage. No land to be seen. He's coming to deliver him. And the creatures. I remind you of Exodus 2. Where we find that the God heard the groaning of the Jews in Egypt. And God remembered His covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel. And God had respect unto them. And what happened? In mercy, He brought them out of Egypt. See, God is still merciful. And in mercy, He comes to deliver His people out of their distresses. He's the God who's in covenant with His people, who loves His people, and who will deliver His own. As you see God's tokens of mercy to you, let that encourage you. These little tokens of mercy and small things, let that encourage you. The Lord is merciful. And these deep things that I am concerned about that seem so big that I cannot cope with them myself. He is able in His mercy to deliver me out of them. You'll notice it was a powerful deliverance. You find your God preparing a wind. He brings the wind out of His treasures. Hear this wind that is going to blow. And we find the waters returning from off the earth. You see, God is the one who can stop the floods. The floods can lift up the voice. The waves can make a great noise. But yet the Lord that is on high is more of might by far. The noise of many waters is. Our great sea billows are. He was powerfully delivered. See, he is the one who is able to help his people
in their dire straits
look to him for help. Notice their sovereign deliverance here. Here's Noah. We find God makes a wind, and the wind blows. There he is, bringing the wind out of his treasure. You see, he from the ends of the earth doth make the vapors to ascend, with rainy lightnings makes, and wind doth from his treasures send. There's the ark, and it's landing at the right spot. It would appear that during the flood, the whole face of the earth was refashioned. It wasn't the way it is now. And it lands on these mountains, which have been built at this time during the flood, called the mountains of Ararat. Not to think specifically of the one mountain that's got that name. It would appear to be a region of mountains just north of what's known as the Fertile Crescent, where you've got Mesopotamia, modern-day Iraq, sweeping round to Israel, and just north there, perhaps in Armenia or Kurdistan, an area where they can come down and where they'll easily find fertility, where they can grow crops. And, well, we find the nations dispersed from these things. We find archaeology confirms this fact that they disperse from that area, as Scripture puts it. What do we see? The elements subservient to the will of God. So that the wind blows, the waters are abated, and the waters stop, and as if the taps are turned off. Obviously, that's not literally what happens, but the fountain of the great deep is stopped, and God causes the water to pour off, causing the ocean trenches to form, and so on. And here is everything working so that the ark is there at the right place that God would have it to be. And everything is fulfilling the will and purpose of the Almighty Creator. Is that not still the same today? You know, one of the precious truths about Christ as the exalted, glorified Lord is this: that he is head over all things for the sake of his church. Ruler over everything for the sake of his church. So whether it's the weather, or the actions of kings, or anything else, it's in the control of Christ to fulfill his purpose for the good of his church, for the good of his people. What a privilege to be part of that church. Because then Christ is in control of all things. The Almighty Christ. For the good of his people. And so if you trust in Christ, you can see God is our refuge and our strength, and straits are present aid. Therefore, although the earth remove, we will not be afraid. Don't be shaken. Though there be convulsions and earthquakes, whatever. All for the good of his church and for the good of his people. He delivers. He did then. He still does now. And whenever we see it, we should give him the praise and thanks as we see Noah doing it at the end. Notice thirdly, Noah reacting to the developing situation. The ark lands, the water slowly drain away, and you can see that it takes a long time because it's something like 370 days later, from the beginning to the end of the flood, before Noah leaves the ark. What do we find them doing? As he's waiting for the waters to recede further so that they might get out of land, unload the ark, life as it were can begin again in a fairly normal way. Well, we find Noah being resourceful. God's going to deliver us. Suddenly he sits back and does nothing. Not at all. He uses the means God gives at his disposal to work out things. You find him sending out these birds. Why is he doing that? Well, he's giving an indication of the situation. If the waters go down, the raven, it can go out. Can it find anywhere to land? It won't return. It can live off the rubbish that's lying around, any carcasses that are there. The raven doesn't return. There's an indication. Things are getting back to a sort of normality, at least what we know today. And eventually with the dove, we can see how more and more there's a conclusion. Things are beginning to develop and grow. Plants are growing again. Till eventually Noah is aware things are right. So what do we see? God delivers, but he uses means. Maybe there's someone who's sick. They're not just to sit back and say, Lord, make me better. And the doctor comes offering medication, or they're offered an operation or some therapy, and they say, no, I'm not taking that. God will make me better. God uses ordinary means. These means still need the blessing of God, but he uses these things. And he expects us to be observant and to use those things that he gives us, relying not on them, but on him and his blessing. Friend, remember that to have confidence in God and trust in God. But that doesn't mean to say you've not got to do things. God is sovereign. That doesn't mean to say you've not got to do things. You know God is sovereign. Perhaps you're here tonight and you're saying, God is sovereign. It means I can do nothing about my own salvation. That's true and it's false. God is sovereign. He works in the heart and brings people to himself. But he works through people. And you're to believe, and you're to trust, and you do something. No one ever came to Christ without doing something. Laying a hold of him, embracing him as a Savior. He like Noah. He was resourceful. He acted. And you'll notice Noah was also self-disciplined. He's patient. He's waiting until the flood dries. God tells him he can go. There he is. He's looking. And it's only eventually, the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And it's about a month later before he leaves. Over half the time. He's actually just waiting for things to get back to normal and for the flood eventually to completely dry away. Patience. He's not rushing out before the time. Friend, don't run ahead of God. Don't try and run ahead of God and his word. You may receive tokens to encourage you. Receive them as tokens of encouragement from the trials and troubles, or regarding the anxieties you have, or you're praying for others in their conversion. Receive those tokens, and yet wait God's command, or wait God's blessing, await God's full deliverance. It's good to see someone showing an interest in the things of God. But do not presume that means of immediately being brought to Christ. It's good to see them having concern of soul and conviction of sin. Conviction of sin is not conversion. Don't. If it's blessed by God, will lead to that. Keep on waiting, being patient, and yet looking for God to work in these souls. If you're here tonight, and you're beginning to seek, and you're beginning to have soul concern, look to God to bring that concern to more than just a concern for soul and concern about your sin, but look to God to help you to see Christ in his glory and ask him to enable you to embrace him as he is offered to you anew in the gospel. Be patient and look for his blessing. There's Noah there. God remembered Noah. May we, like Noah, have faith and patience. And exercise faith and patience. May we be delivered as Noah was delivered. All we need is that. Make sure you have the faith of Noah, which brings you to Christ. And in being brought to Christ, have faith and patience in the midst of all the trials and troubles of life. Let us pray.